All right, let us move expeditiously as we move forward in the ministering the document, and hopefully our guest has a copy. The scripture distinctions of actualization in eternity from manifestation in time. Everyone repeat after me. Scripture distinctions of actualization in eternity from manifestation in time. Here we shall abide, and this is where we are focused, and this is where we shall be for some time. What you have here in this document is part one. There are some 10 parts to it. I don't know how long it's going to take, and you know, I'm not really worried about that. Amen. We're not going to rush through it. This is very important information. As we see all the things that are going on around us, amen, this is an election year. We're into many, many proposals that the candidates basically are presenting to us as the solutions to life. And many are perplexed because many of the things that were promised before were never done. And then this guy, the new people come along saying, yeah, but we're going to do it what we say. Amen. What this document conveys is that all things are actualized, were actualized by God's decree in eternity. And manifestation in time is the testimony of what God in eternity decreed. And the manifestation has to follow the decree. The only way anyone can stand before you and say what's going to be is that he or she has received some revelation of what God has decreed.
Right. That's all I'm doing.
Because the only thing that can possibly manifest is that which flows from the factuality of what's in God's decree. And sometimes it places the one who is commissioned to stand and convey what God has decreed, it places such one in a very unpopular position. Amen. And so it should not be strange when men hear what God has planned and they are unhappy because it conflicts with their plans.
Hallelujah.
And of course it takes the person of God to really be able to stand and without equivocation, without being intimidated, that is to stand undauntedly and say what the Word of God has said. Many of the times it's not popular.
Right.
You won't be able to fill the house. Amen. If you're not offering some panacea, saying that this is the way for us to get what we want and for everything to be all right. Amen. Because I'm telling you, that thing is not going to transpire unless it is in reflection of what God has ordered.
That's right.
Amen. Amen. And so God sets the agenda. In fact, God has the only agenda. Amen. We have imagined itineraries. Amen. But they're not about anything.
Right.
Amen. So,
yeah.
Amen. The preacher, that is the real preacher, when I say the real preacher, I'm saying the one who is going to stand and convey what God has decreed according to his word, he's not worried about being popular. Mm-hmm. You see, the politician tell you how great you are. The preacher has to tell you how dumb you are. Politicians tell you how great things are going to be, and the preacher has to stand and tell you how bad it's going to be. And, oh my God. Politician stands and tell you it's going to get better. The preacher has to stand and tell you it's going to get worse.
Yes, sir. I hear you.
Amen. And many who are in the ministry, amen, have not followed that course because there are consequences for standing and telling the truth. Oh, my God. Hallelujah. But the only thing that's going to set you free is the truth. Amen.
Amen.
And so here, this course is devised to give the actual workings of how things really are. And so what it does, it takes us up into the eternal plane, up into the vertical sphere of where God dwells. And we look down at the situation. Because even the ministry has bought into is to stand on the horizontal plane and look around us and try to figure things out. Amen. But that's not a good view. Amen. Because the best view is the bird's eye view, where you're looking down upon it. Amen. And you're not looking through the eyes of humanity, but you're looking through the eyes of faith.
Yeah.
Amen. And you're saying what God says. And if God doesn't say it, we don't say it.
Hallelujah.
You don't hear me this morning.
Amen. That's right.
Hallelujah. Ella Nickerson is our designated reader. And we want everyone to turn to our base scripture. And we shall, that is Colossians chapter 1. Verses 16, and in conjunction with that, we're going to look at verses 19. In fact, we're going to go back through and do some exegeting of that verse. And you say, Pastor, haven't we done that before? No, no, you understand, the Word of God is more than the written Word. The Word of God is the living Word. That thing's alive. And sometimes you go through it, and you think you got it all, or you think you got the crux of it, and then you go through it, amen, God shows you that there's something else.
Yes.
And that's because it's alive.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Right. All right, everyone that's got Colossians chapter 1, verse 16, say amen.
Amen.
All right, Elder, what I want you to do is I want you to read verse 16. Through 19, read it first in the King James, then follow that too with the reading from the Greek text. All right? Again, everybody got Colossians chapter 1, verse 16. Say amen.
Amen.
All right, reader, read.
Colossians chapter 1, verse 16 from the King James Version.
Mm-hmm.
For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are on earth, in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him.
Mm-hmm.
And he is before all things, and by him all things consist.
Mm-hmm.
And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead,
mm-hmm.
that in all things he might have preeminence.
Mm-hmm. Just straighten it out. Keep on.
For it pleased the Father.
We'll really straighten that out.
That in him should all fullness dwell.
All right.
All right.
Let's go to that. Let's go to the Greek text.
Numbers.
You wonder why we exegete.
Okay.
Oh, my God. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. English translation, the King James, a pretty good translation, except as translations go, amen. when it's convenient, they will do a little editorizing.
Right.
So we're going to go and we'll clean that up. All right? Those of you who have your Greek interlineal, open them to that verse 16 of Colossians chapter 1. Those who don't, just kind of follow along closely. Most of the reading, amen, is similar, but in the interlineal, you have the Greek script in there with the English word on each one, so it holds the translator's feet a little closer to the fire.
Yeah.
And doesn't allow for all of this editorizing, amen, and insertions and deletions,
right.
Amen, and changing words around, calling adjectives verbs and verbs nouns and etc. Amen. All right? Very slowly, Elder, read verse 16.
Verse 16. Because in him...
See that? In him. In him. In him. You see that? That's preposition. That's epsilon ni. In.
Mm-hmm.
In. And the reason why we keep hopping on that is when we say by, as the King James has there, we think of something by someone as being something sort of separated, remote from him. And he did it. It's by him, but it's not him. Amen. But this says it's in him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Amen. That's where all things dwell.
Right.
In him. In him. All right? Read.
Because in him were created.
Were created. Okay?
All things.
Mm-hmm.
In the heavens.
Mm-hmm.
And on the earth.
Mm-hmm.
The visible and the invisible, whether thrones or lordships or rulers or authorities, all things through
Everybody
him.
Say all things through him.
All things through him.
All things through him. Oh my God. And read.
And for him.
And for him. Everybody say and for him.
And for him.
And for him. See, and there's no arguing with that here that reads Ta Panda the aftu ke is afton. That's all things through him and for him. Amen. Oh my God. You see, that's quite different from up there. All things created by him and for him is actually through him or by or through the means of him that speaks a purpose.
Mm-hmm.
Read that.
And he is before all things.
And the last word there is the ektisthe, which is translated having been created. Amen.
Yes,
we have the aorist tense there.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Amen. All things were created
mm-hmm.
by him, through him, and for him, mm-hmm. amen, for his purpose, for God's purpose,
mm-hmm.
amen. Everything is for God's purpose.
Amen.
So when we look for a thing, it is based upon God's purpose,
yes, sir. Yes,
sir. Amen. So
yes.
when we see a
amen.
Thing, we'll try to figure it out in tying it in to our purpose,
right.
to our thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. And we look at that thing and say, what is that?
Mm-hmm.
Amen. And we should be saying, not what is it, but what is it for?
Oh,
amen.
Amen. Purpose.
Yes.
But not our purpose.
Yes.
Y'all hear me this morning.
Yes.
God's purpose.
Amen.
This is tied to God. It's what God's doing.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. And sometimes what we're doing, amen, or what we think we're doing has nothing to do with what's actually happening because that thing is based upon what God is doing.
Amen.
Y'all don't hear me this morning.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
All right. I don't want to get too tired up there. Keep reading. We've got a little ways to go this morning. Read.
And he is before all things, and all things in him consisted.
And he is...
Yes, Lord.
And he is
before all things.
Before all things. He is, oh my God. Him that reads cap optos esting pro. Pro, before, mean before. Oh my God, hallelujah. Woo, hallelujah. Here we come on the scene a little later thinking that this thing is reviving around us. Amen. And what we wrote a long time before we got here, God called the shot.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh my God.
Thank God.
Not about us.
Yeah.
Not about, you know, we've been somehow brainwashed to think that things revolve. Revolve around us. Little puny creatures. Oh my God.
Numbers.
And you know what's so crazy about that? We look out in the cosmos. We look out in the universe.
Yeah.
And we see all the things that are going on. And we've gone through juxtaposing the earth versus the universe.
Right.
And here the earth becomes invisible, and we look at the size of the universe. In fact, the earth becomes invisible when you just look at the Milky Way, the galaxy we live in. And there are billions of galaxies, amen. And we look out there, amen, in the cosmos, and we see, amen, all of the forces that are working, things that are moving, things that are happening, amen. We see stars being manifested and stars being manifested as dying. So we see the same thing that's happened in the cosmos as we see here on earth. And yet, amen, we have no problem with saying that God, amen, is working all of that out there for whatever reason. Amen. But yet when we get to earth, amen, it's not about what he's doing. It's about what we're doing.
Man. Man.
Numbers.
We're in election year.
Numbers.
And then everybody's always looking for some savior, somebody to come along,
come on,
amen,
come
and make things right for us.
On,
amen.
Man.
Don't you know that's looking in the wrong places?
Man.
Huh? You're looking to the wrong source. Now somebody's going to say, oh, he's saying don't participate. He said, no, as much as you're led, whatever, just don't let it take all your time. Amen. In fact, don't let it take none of your church time. You want to get out there. But don't depend upon that stuff.
Amen.
Huh? That person that's up there saying we're going to do this, amen. Even Jesus in the kingdom gospel says no one is able to add not one cube to them the measure.
I hear you.
Hallelujah.
Man.
Hallelujah.
Not one measure to what you are.
Man.
Told him, don't be saying what you're going to do tomorrow. How do you know you're going to even be here tomorrow?
That's it. Amen.
What you're going to do, what we're going to do. How many times men have said what they were going to do, amen, and God had to show them who's in charge, amen. They got together one time in the Old Testament and said, we're going to build a tower all up to heaven, amen, and God confused the language, amen, amen, and the project was aborted. Oh, my God.
Yeah. I hear you.
Oh, yeah.
I hear you.
Glory to God.
How many times men say what we going to do? How many times have you said you're going to do something and you didn't do that thing?
In fact, you
did the opposite of what you said you were going to do. Amen. And said, this is going to happen. And the opposite went down. Amen. One of these days, we're going to come to the conclusion that God calls the shots. Amen. It is for him, by him, to him. Oh, man, my God, in him. Amen. It's all about him. It's not about us. Oh my God, hallelujah. What is God doing? I read.
All things in him consisted.
Mm-hmm.
And he is the head of the body.
Uh-huh.
Of the church, who is the beginning, firstborn from the dead, in order that may be in all things he holding the first place. Because in him was well pleased all the fullness to dwell, and through him to reconcile all things to him.
Now look at this. Look at this. In all things, in verse 17, all things consistent. We have, oh my God, we have the Greek verb there, synestiskin, which is translated consistent, or held together.
Amen.
It's in the perfect tense.
Amen.
What's the perfect tense?
Completed
action, what? Of ongoing effects. Amen. So that thing is because it was.
Yeah.
It has consisted, and it does consist. Amen. And there's no way it could be. It is, amen, because it was, and it was because that's what he decreed.
That's right.
In verse 18, it speaks about that which is first. In we have here beginning, actually, what it reads, who is the beginning firstborn? Oh my goodness. Achi, the beginning, amen. And then it has the word protestum, which is translated first place or occupying first place or occupying first position. Amen. And the word of God is impregnated with the preeminence of God.
Yes.
Amen. How men can get off on a track and begin to look at the things of men and view that as the operational entrance of how things are and how things are to be. And somehow, amen, the whole universe is out there. Yet when we get to earth, amen, everything is revolving around us. Amen. If a thing cannot happen in the heavens unless, amen, it is according to God's purpose, then it must follow that nothing happens on earth except it is according to God's purpose.
Yeah.
In heaven, according to God's purpose. On earth, according to God's purpose. That's everything. Not some things. Not this. Why we started this morning, we passed out the airships on faith and free will. There's no such thing as faith.
I hear you.
And there's absolutely no such thing as free will.
I hear you.
That's right. Amen.
No one imagines that they can influence anything in the cosmos, but yet, amen, we believe that we can influence at least some things here on earth. You can do neither.
Man.
You can do neither.
Neither one.
Neither one. Now let's look at verse 19. I want to look at that closer in conjunction to that. I want you to, oh my God, I want you to turn to page 15 of the document, where we left off the last time we were before you. Remember, we were talking about those who embrace eternal somethings without an eternal someone, and how ludicrous that is. Amen. That for something to exist, it must be tied to someone. Amen. That it is impossible for something's capacity to be supplied by anything.
Amen.
Amen. But it must be provided by someone. And of course, that someone is who?
God.
God. Amen. So it is through God's origin that everything is sourced. Amen. Whether that be something and whether that be anything, it must come from God.
Amen.
And so the focus here is understanding that the existence of everything was initialized and actualized in eternity by God's decree. Amen. It was exclusively in the sphere of eternity that all things were determined in regards to their purpose production. Amen. Now, what we are fighting here and militating against is the doctrine of eternal determinations in the sphere of time. It must be vigorously contested. Orthodox Christians have somehow sold everyone on an idea that what is done in time determines what it is in eternity. Say, decisions you make in time will determine where you spend eternity. And so we have, quote, decisions for Christ.
Right.
You decide.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that thing is so orthodox until when you preach what the scriptures are teaching, you are inevitably called an heretic.
Right.
But of course, as we were dealing, as we were saying, pointed out in Bible study Friday night, what is heresy in one age is orthodox in another, and vice versa.
That's right.
Amen. And so, I gauge for truth to go into the Word of God and exegete the Scriptures,
right,
and whatever it says, that's what's true.
Right.
Amen. Even if that's against the majority, because that's all heresy really means, is that you're going against what the
majority
is saying.
Right.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
But the Scriptures teach us that the conferment of all things, including mankind's placement in the body of Christ, and the functionality of all things, do not reside in time, but they are manifested in time. Listen. Anything that, amen, is residing in time will have to come to a cessation with the cessation of time.
Right.
If it resides in time, whatever that thing is, when there's no more time, and not know they don't believe it, amen, but the Word of God is loud and clear, and it speaks to the end, that says, and time will be no more. And time will be, y'all don't hear me, time will be no more. That's hard for us, even us to somehow come to grips with, because
right,
we live as though the sphere that the sphere of time, and in the time capsule, there is eternity. We even live like we're gonna live forever. We think, amen. And even though we're going to funerals every day, somehow the message still not getting through. Amen. Death is a messenger. Messenger of death is what? Temporary. Everything is temporary. Temporary mean what? Not long. Amen. But somehow we don't get the message. Amen. And so we think that everything that's around us, and yet we see things winding up.
Mm-hmm.
Everything's winding up.
Mm-hmm.
It's winding up. He said, well, when is the end? I don't know. God hasn't chosen to give us that information.
Yeah.
Amen. But for sure, it's winding up.
Yeah.
It's coming to an end.
Amen.
And anything that's abiding in time, mm-hmm, is going to come into an end with time.
With time.
Amen. Yeah, so the true essence of a thing, amen, is abiding in eternity. It is manifested in time,
right,
but don't confuse manifestation with actualization.
That's right.
That thing must abide in eternity in order for it to outlast time.
Amen.
You must understand that. And so we look at the eternality of God. And then, and just going, recapitulating for a minute, we were talking about chains. Chance. The likelihood that something might happen. Most of our hope is based on chance.
Yeah. I hear you.
Most of our hope is based on the likelihood that something might happen.
I hear you.
Right. And yet the scriptures the scripture tells us what? That which is seen is not hope.
Amen. That's right.
So your hope has to be in not what you see, but in what you don't see.
Glory.
And somebody said, well, I'm in the prosperity preachers, they jumped on that and said, all right, to hope, what we're going to do, we're going to hope for a car, we're going to visualize. That's not what he's talking about. When he says see, he's talking about physicality. Hope is not based upon physicality.
Right.
If that thing is seen, there's no hope in it.
Yeah.
That thing is physical, there's no hope. The only hope is that which is eternal. We have an eternal hope, which is the only kind of hope that's really that's a real hope. Yeah. And eternal hope is not something that you see with your eyes. But nothing can be produced by chance. Why? Because chance occurrences in time and manifested creation would be independently capable of overpowering. Now we went through this, so I'm going through this again. The determinant actualization of God's decree in eternity. If that thing has actualized by God's decree, then chance, the dimension of chance has no bearing.
Amen.
Ontologically speaking, God's eternal determinants are all they are. And everything that can possibly be done are manifested. So, well, then I don't know what God's decree is. Well, many things it's not God's pleasure to let you know.
Right.
And Paul said, we don't walk by sight anyway. We walk by what?
Faith.
You don't need faith for something your eyes can behold.
Amen. Right. That's right.
You need faith for something your eyes can't behold.
Amen. That's right. Preach it. Amen.
That is your natural eyes I'm speaking of.
Thank God. Amen.
And so, specters of chance are merely human illusions. And human illusions cannot overpower what was actualized and brought into existence by God's eternal decree. I'm saying this because you know, and they said, well, you know, we wanted our candidate and so forth, and then this happened and this messed up, and if this hadn't happened, that would happen, and we even live like that, and we think like that from day to day. Man, if I had just done this, that would have. No, it wouldn't have. What went down? The only thing went down is what could have gone down, and nothing else could have gone down. Otherwise, we're accusing God of not having a program and a plan. So, well, God didn't plan that. How did it happen?
That's
by chance? Give me a break. Listen, chance does not even exist as an option.
Glory to God.
Because chance is excluded from God's eternal design and purpose, and it doesn't exist because it goes against whatever's actualized in God's decree.
Lord.
Amen. Doesn't even have a possible chance.
Amen.
Huh?
Amen.
And even when chance is perceived through fortuitous implications, manifestation of what actually happened was dictated by God's decree.
Right.
He said, well, I did so and I just took a chance on it happening. Boy, I'm so glad I took a chance. No, come on. That didn't happen because you took a chance on it. It's not our input. Our input doesn't determine anything. And that's hard for God's people. I don't worry about the folk out there, but that's hard for God's people to comprehend.
Mm-hmm.
We can't comprehend that.
Yeah.
We can't comprehend that. You know. Listen, chance is simply a humanly perceived independent force.
Mm-hmm.
And the minute you say independent force, that should tell you something.
Right.
There are no independent forces.
Right.
I looked at the news this week and said, somebody said, boy, something must be in the water. You know, the incidents that happened, the man that went into the school and shot the teacher and stabbed, I guess, in front of the children. The man jumped in his car and set the car on fire with him and his wife in it. You know what I mean? Just going down the line. Man goes into the courthouse and shoot up a bunch of people, you know, and the guy barricaded himself in, killed a few people, the SWAT team showed up, he killed one of them, you know. So all of this stuff is happening, you know, right behind one another this past week, you know, at Louisiana Tech, you know, right inside the classroom, and young lady shot two other of her classmates and then killed herself, you know, all these things. Something's in the water, same because. Well, we said there must be something out there. It had nothing to do with God. Just use no. Purpose. God has a purpose.
For everything
that happens. Mm-hmm. And just because we can't figure it out,
right.
We said God can possibly have something to do with that.
Right.
Because I can't figure out why. Well, my God, we could fill volumes and volumes and volumes. With what we don't understand.
Right.
In fact, we understand very little.
Amen.
Very little that we understand.
Right.
In fact, that's why the scripture, the Old Testament, tells us to do it. Don't lean to it.
Amen.
Lean away from your understanding.
Right.
Amen. But if you want to know what's going on, you say, acknowledge him. This is the Old Testament.
Right.
Amen. Acknowledge him, what? In every way.
Amen. That's right.
For he is to direct your path. Amen. So we come to him not knowing anything, recognizing that he knows all things, and the best way, amen, to grasp that is to understand that all things are in him, through him, for him.
Glory. I hear you, right. Glory. I hear you, right. Glory to God. That's right.
It's going to help you. Some of us out here, we're knocking ourselves out,
mm-hmm.
quote, trying to make something happen. That thing's not going to happen unless God has decreed for it to happen.
I hear it.
Huh? So, well, I'm trying to get this done and that done, and I'm trying this. And so, well, now, Pastor, you teach that we shouldn't go. And say, no. What you out there doing, that's part of God's process of manifestation. Amen. But you must understand that whatever is done, it's already done.
I hear you. Already done. Glory to God.
It's not manifested.
Right.
But God doesn't have to manifest it for it to be done. We think a thing happens when it is manifested. No, it's not. Amen. God doesn't have to prove anything to himself. If he doesn't ever manifest it, amen, it is if he has decreed it. He said it is, and it is because he said it is.
Yes. Right.
Oh, my God.
Thank God.
So, other than what's decreed by God, nothing is produced,
nothing.
And nothing happens. So there is no merit in the conceptualization of chance. There's such thing as chance. There's no such thing as free will. Amen. There's no such thing as just unbridled destiny. Amen. Choice. No such thing as choice. I mean, you got a choice to be depraved because that's what you were designed to be. Amen. Huh? You born in sin and shaped in iniquity. Amen. And depravity produces depravity. And that's what's happened. That's not a choice. Amen. That's what you are. Amen. And unless God vetoes, amen, and holds back that which could be expressed, that's what comes out. And that's why all of those things were happening this week, amen. God did not choose to, amen, to veto the workings and the manifestations of depravity.
Yes. Yes.
Say, well, why didn't he stop it? Amen. Oh my God, it wasn't his purpose to stop it. And said, well, you see, and this is why he said, well, God didn't do this. God, the devil did this. You know, God is somewhere saying, man, that devil, he just continued to stir up trouble. Isn't that something? Oh, my God. Oh, my God. And the scripture teaches us that at some point, just prior to the millennial, amen, to show you the power of God, because it is his purpose. He takes him and he bows him, he chains him, and he locks him up. Because it's for his purpose. But it's not his purpose to do so in this age and in this time. In this evil age that we live in now. The devil is not bound. He is not chained. Amen. Oh my God. Because it's not God's purpose. It's God's purpose for all of these things to be manifested. The height, amen, the full extent of the depravity, amen. Because it is in this age, oh my God, that he manifests the most precious thing that he created. Oh my God, I'm speaking of those who were sanctified and placed in the body of Christ, some position, even in this age. The greatest thing he does to show his power, he takes out this age, the evil age we're in, the greatest of all of his creation.
Glory. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Oh, hallelujah. And somebody asked, what is God doing? Amen. I think he's doing a great thing. He's doing great things. That's what God is doing. Where is God? In 9/11, where is God? In Virginia Tech incident, where is God? Amen. Hallelujah. He's everywhere. But he has a purpose and an agenda. And at appointed times, he's going to allow the primitive to manifest itself for his purpose. All right. Oh my God. Look at that clock. It's beating me up. Page 15, about the second paragraph, where it says God's eternal design. You got that? God's eternal design and purpose exists totally independent of anything outside of his sovereign will, and need none other to effectuate its origination, actualization, and survival. Everything. Everybody say everything.
Everything.
That's whether, as we read before, is visible or invisible.
Right.
Whether it's seen or unseen.
Right.
And whether it does, and whether it is principles, authorities, and he's speaking of human, which is a big thing to us,
Amen.
But it's nothing to God.
Nothing.
Someone asked me, who you think is going to win the election? And I said, whoever God has decreed.
Whoever God has decreed. Ever.
Whoever. Yes. Yeah, that's not what I mean. So who do you think? Truthfully, I don't think anymore. I have an idea who I believe I'm going to be called to vote for.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
But I don't vote for him thinking that he's going to be elected. Old Testament.
Come on.
He does what?
Raise
he raises the what up? And then when he gets ready, what?
Bring it down.
Takes it out.
That's right.
We still don't understand that. Said God, would God allow somebody ruthless to be a leader?
Yeah.
Who put Stalin in power? Who put Hitler in power? And I'm not putting him in the same category now, but who put George Bush in power? I'm not putting him in the same category. So the next person, man or woman, that's in power, is already happened.
Already.
And anyway, our man has always been in power.
Glory to God.
He is in power. And he always will be in power.
Glory to God. Always.
The one I'm depending upon anyway. I don't know who he's I don't know what you huh? He is?
Yes.
He was?
Wow.
He always will be. And everything that's going down,
yes.
He's already called that thing.
Oh,
it's done. Mm-hmm. It's existing. It just hasn't been manifested
amen.
Yet.
Amen. Glory to God. That's right.
So, Lord, once a lost election, what are we going to do? That's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm? They tell me that I wasn't, see, was I alive? Yeah, I was a baby when FDR died. And they tell me that people say, oh, Mr. Roosevelt is dead. What are we going to do now? Is that crazy? What you did before he got on the scene.
That's right. You're
me, man. Huh? That's right. That's why I don't, the ministry can't be focused on no man. Any minister is not thinking, well, he is thinking, he's thinking of himself, but he's still not thinking of the things of God when he puts his name on the ministry. You put your name on the ministry, but you die, the ministry dies with you. Hmm? I don't think we have any problems with that. That's why I said, out front, no, don't put my name down, because if something happened to me, you got to change the sign. Now, if you put Jesus out there, you don't have to worry because he's not going anywhere. not going anywhere. Huh? So that has to be about Jesus. So the ministry has to be about the message, not about the man.
Amen.
Isn't that crazy?
Oh,
ever. Huh? So that happens. Well, hey. Is Jesus still? Yeah, all right, let's keep rolling.
Keep rolling, amen.
Huh?
Mm-hmm.
Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what that is saying.
Yes,
also, if something else were possibly producible, it would be out of necessity, as an instinct for survival. Y'all follow this closely now. And I said, well, you're getting a little technical, you know. And of course, you know, no strange thing. I was listening to the news. I watched CNN. And they was talking about how shallow the messages are coming from the candidates. You know why? You know why? The same thing in the church. Because people don't really like detail. They don't really like detail. They don't like detail. Remember when Ross Perot some years ago,
yeah.
He came out in debate, he had this he had this chart, and they laughed at him. But the man had facts there.
Yeah.
But they don't want facts.
Yeah.
We don't want facts. We
yeah.
want fantasy.
Yeah. Man.
Even when you begin to look at the commercials,
mm-hmm.
they're not going to be about fact.
I hear you.
They're going to be quick little one-hitters with catch lines.
Uh-huh.
Because that's what we're doing in the church now. We come in here and we start exegeting, and somebody gets bored. But you're just going to have to get bored. Because we're not coming in here telling you what it is. We're going to come in here showing you what it is.
Yeah, right. Amen.
Because the idea is to let the word do the talking. You know, just like the yellow pages do the walk. Let the yellow pages do the walking. Let the word do the talking. I got some pretty good ideas, I think. But in reality, they're not about anything. It's just an opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Preaching now, you know, the churches that's filling up, the mega churches and so, the folk, they don't want no detail.
No,
you better
you.
Not go in there breaking down no scriptures and run you out of there. Give me some quick fix, sloganistic expression of something, and don't be long doing that.
I hear you.
That's right.
Don't be long.
I hear you.
That's right.
One thing I'm grateful for here at the Grace Gospel Church, you come in here, no matter which one of these brothers stand up, you know you're at least here for an hour. Of course, some of these brothers, they go for the office. They wouldn't stand for that. Because some of their services don't even last an hour. You know, quick in, quick out. You know, the fast food syndrome. So they want detail, and that's why they're not giving you no detail. You say, but they don't have any detail. If they had some detail and they got started to get into detail, amen, it would wear out your patience. Because most of us, you know, we're not in to the real serious stuff anyway.
Amen.
You know, the most popular programs are, you know, trivia stuff.
Amen.
You know. Some reality, somebody on some island, and you know, that's what we want to see, how you get out of this fix and so forth.
Yeah.
Fantasy island, you know, we're into fantasies. You don't want facts. You start talking about something serious, you know, sitcoms, somebody laughing, ha 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 ha. So then brought it in the church, you know, somebody get up and, you know, he's entertaining, he's cracking jokes, and you're laughing. Of course, while you're laughing, the devil's laughing too. He loves it. Because the dumber you are, the better he likes it.
I hear you.
But the more informed you are,
amen,
the Holy Spirit likes it.
Amen.
All right. Give me 10 minutes and I'm going to wrap this up. To seriously entertain the possibility of such an incredulous proposition, if without question, absolutely inconceivable, because that would impugn God's omniscience, omnipotence, and perfection. Follow me now. Also, such an adjustment certainly could not be accommodated by chance. Considering that all which preceded it was by design. You can't put chance and design in the same category. Chance is something randomly. Design is something specific.
Yes, sir. Yes.
Glory to God.
If it's by design, it can't be by chance. If it's by chance, it can't be by design. Nothing transpires on a random basis. Nothing. So if it was preceded by design, any argument of such would require a derivative plan. Solutions never engender chance, as though chance is the only force that exists. Furthermore, accomplishments of purpose and goals demand what? The composition of patterns. Follow me now. I got the chart out now. Follow me. Be in the detail now. Follow me. Again, accomplishments of goals or purposes demand the composition of patterns. For there to be a purpose and a goal, there has to be some patterns for reaching that goal.
Absolutely.
And chance doesn't fit into that. Such can only be produced and programmed by an intelligent force of some kind which rules out chance.
Right.
Let's take that out of our vocabulary. If eternal somethings function exclusively through the force of chance, such could not successfully exist independently, considering that the reason for this production must reside within an established purpose and design. Oh my God. Accordingly, nothing else can possibly exist by instinct. Chance, necessity, will, or control of another. I think I'll repeat that. Nothing can possibly exist by instinct. Nope. Chance. Nope. Necessity. That thing came about because of necessity. No. To say it came about because of necessity is to say that something is unfulfilled in God. In God, nothing is necessary because everything is fulfilled.
Amen.
Huh?
Amen.
If something is necessary, it comes in to plug some gap.
Right. Right.
God doesn't need anything brought in to plug the gap.
No gap.
Follow me here. No one. The reason can only be the sovereign plan, will, and purpose of God. No one nor nothing is capacitated to choose to produce something else to exist. Thus, it is impossible that there yet remains anything else unproduced. As such, would occur in contrast to his fullness. Then we just not read Colossians 1:19. Let's look at it again. What did it say? 1:19. Because in him, and of course the King James, it pleased the Father. Look at, if you got a good Bible, your King James, you see that the Father italicized. Was that, why is it italicized? It's not in there. There's somebody trying to divide up the Godhead. It's not necessary to say the Father, not necessary to say the Son. All you got to do is say him. You're talking about, y'all in him.
Yeah. Oh.
In him was well pleased. Was well pleased. At focusing. Was well pleased. It's about God being pleased. Everything he did, amen, and everything that is manifested and the purpose of it is that he is well pleased.
Yeah.
Well, so-and-so son died. How can God please from this? See, we don't understand. We're looking at time. We're looking at, oh my God, we put time on the same basis as eternity.
Yes, we do.
If you stop putting time on the same basis as eternity, you wouldn't be disappointed so much.
Lord Jesus. Oh, glory.
Lord Jesus. Man.
That's right.
Wouldn't be disappointed so much. Only Only God has the power to produce. Mm-hmm. And the creation of something else is absolutely unnecessary. Mm-hmm. Which eliminates the conceptualization of any other unproduced entities from the possibility of existence. Mm-hmm. Thus, nothing can be decided other than that which already exists in God's decree. Understand that. Nothing else can be decided. It's already decided. Amen. Who the next president of the United States? Nothing else except what already exists in God's decree, which comprises every possibility of existence. Hence, there's no power other than God to decide anything, as this would construe the production of something else. Here, some will object to the premise that there is no other will in existence other than God's, and that the exercise of choice does not imply the power to produce something else. Their assertion is that their choice is simply relegated power that would only be used to further the progression of existence. So God has relegated something to you for you to make a choice and say, well, now it's up to you what happens here. Now, people, you're probably by God. That's not what the scripture is teaching us. Not our gospel. Listen. But this alone would imply that there remains yet something unfulfilled. So God hasn't done everything. He's done some things. And then he said, well, now I'm going to see. I'm creating everything. Now I'm going to see what y'all going to do. The essence of eternal existence, that's another paper, I don't know whether you've read that one or not, but anyway. The essence of eternal existence is that everything from eternity already exists. The essence of eternal existence is that everything from eternity already exists. Everybody repeat after me. The essence of eternal existence is that everything from eternity already exists. And if you don't understand that, and if you don't want to, you know, just worry yourself to death, then I mean, hey, you know. Last paragraph. Therefore, there must be a reason beyond the eternal fulfillment, a reconciliation of all things for something to change. In order for something else to exist, it will ontologize as a wrong entity in operation for the purpose of rectifying something that had been overlooked. In this view, an exertion of something else facilitates some previously uncharted end, which in effect places such in an isolated position from God's all-encompassing purpose in creation. If the reason for something else is within an eternal something, then something else will never exist, because God's eternal decree was and is all that has existed and is all that will ever exist. In other words, all that was actualized by God's decree in eternity is all that can ever possibly exist. Something else can exist, which effectively rules out choices. It rules out decisions outside of God, because such would constitute independent determinants. Right. Right. Hypothetically speaking, any operant independent of God must first be eternal and function independently of his design and purpose in his creation. Secondly, such must have the ability to impose his power to choose to produce something else to operate in creation, which necessitates that it has a will and personality. This means that this eternal something is actually an eternal someone other than God. That is self-controlled, survivor is self-capacitated, and has no need because he, them, or it is self-subsistent. But even in these hypotheses, an eternal someone does not produce by chance unless it first produces chance. Chance is a force that must be produced by the eternal something, or it does not exist. Mm-hmm. The eternal someone. Let's get down to the nitty gritty now. Who is God? Is no other outside of himself to force or program anything to do something. Like I repeat that. The eternal someone who is God is no other outside of himself to force or program anything to do something. Why? Because he doesn't need it. Everything is already fulfilling God. Hence, the exclusive pattern or the exclusive adduce to any such humanly perceived enigma is that the existence, and this is where we'll stop today, the existence of everything was initialized and actualized in eternity by God's decree. Repeat after me. The existence of everything, was initialized and actualized in eternity by God's decree. Repeat it after me again. The existence of everything was initialized and actualized in eternity by God's decree. That's the only source. That's the only place it could ever come from. It is all by God's purpose. And this is why Paul on one occasion, amen, he talked about being in stripes. He talked about all of the things that had befallen him. Amen. But he ended up by saying, it didn't matter. It's all right. Amen. Because the bottom line was, he said, nothing can separate me from the love of God.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
And he began to roll off a litany of things.
Yes.
Amen. And then when he ran out, he said, no other thing in creation shall be able to separate me from the love of God. Oh my God. Hey, if we're in the essence of God, we're in the plan of God, we're in the purpose of God, we're in the love of God, we're in the scope of God, we're in the body of Christ. What more can you know? What more can you want? What more can it be than he and him and by him and for him and to him and about him? It's all about him. Amen. As long as they keep it about him, you don't have to worry about anything else. We'll move forward. God bless you.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.